Sacramento Kings fans should be very encouraged by how the team responded in tonight's overtime win in Minnesota, but all NBA fans outside of Lakers fans should be really annoyed by the NBA referee official Twitter account apologizing to the Los Angeles Lakers after blowing a call on Saturday's loss in Boston. Despite a Kings win, Past Matt has an angry rant for you right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season long. Today, presented by Prize Picks. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer for ABC 10 News. And of course, we're going to talk about the positives from tonight's Kings win in Minnesota. I'm going to share with you why I'm really encouraged, and I think Kings fans should be really encouraged by how the Sacramento Kings won this game. Have a lot of love to share towards De'Aaron Fox and other members of this Kings roster, including Malik Monk and Terrence Davis. We're going to get to all that. The positivity is coming. But I said on social media, at Matt George Sack on Twitter, if you want to follow me and interact with me there, I said that no matter what happened in tonight's game, I was only going to start this podcast one way, and that's with a rant about what happened between the Los Angeles Lakers and Boston Celtics on Saturday night, and how the NBA referee's Twitter account did something, issued an apology on social media that is not only insulting to the 29 other teams, it's a terrible look for the league. I'm not going to take it any further. I'm going to throw it to Past Matt, yelling in his car from the parking lot of the ABC 10 studios. He's going to explain to you why what happened on Saturday and the tweet on Sunday has him so upset. So I'm on my way to work, and I realized I can't wait to record this segment on Monday's episode of Locked On Kings. I need to record it now. I need to get this off my chest. And this is both content for the show and therapy for me, because this is under my skin. It's got my blood boiling on the way to work. On Saturday night, the Los Angeles Lakers lost an overtime game to the Celtics in Boston. At the end of regulation, LeBron James was trying to hit a game-winning layup. He was clearly fouled, but the refs didn't call the foul. This leads into a soap opera, melodramatic, classic LeBron James over-the-top theatrical performance of how upset he is, dropping to his knees, begging the officials and begging God, why am I not getting these calls? Why are the Los Angeles Lakers not getting these calls? Why is it happening to us and nobody else? Yeah. First off, LeBron, we saw Space Jam 2. We know you're not that good of an actor. And LeBron goes way over the top, whether it's with injuries or whatever, whether it was getting poked in the eye and him telling Steph Curry he can't see out of one of his eyes during the, I think that was the a play-in game a couple of years ago. Whatever it is, like, we know this is what LeBron does. LeBron embellishes everything. Well, the Lakers aren't like everybody else. We know this, but this is further confirmed because while all of us, the 29 other teams in the league, when we get screwed over by calls at the end of games, we all have to wait for a digital document called the Last 2 Minute Report, the most useless thing in the freaking NBA, to come out to tell us, oh, the referees missed the call. It's not an apology. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to fix our mistake, but we're just going to be transparent and let you know that we blew it, even though you have eyes and you could see that we clearly blew it. And look, everybody outside of Boston Celtics fans, and even many of them, were saying, oh, wow, LeBron was fouled. And that officiating crew last night saw that LeBron was clearly fouled. It's not that the Lakers don't have a legitimate gripe. It's that 29 other teams in addition to the Lakers have legitimate gripes all the time with how bad the officiating has been so far this season. And yet, while we all have to wait for that useless document 24 or almost 24 hours later or whatever it is, the Los Angeles Lakers get informed an hour or two after the game is over that the NBA officials blew the call, that they missed it. So already they're getting preferential treatment. But on top of that, to make it even worse, during the NFC Championship game today, Sunday, the Lakers were issued a public apology from the NBA officiating or NBA officials'
Twitter account saying, like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees that we can be. First off, I think LeBron James's melodramatic acting coach is the one writing the tweets for the NBA officiating account, because this is over the top. It's gut-wrenching for us, and this play will weigh heavily on our hearts and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees that we can be. Give me a freaking break. That referee crew, they collected their paycheck. They went back to their five-star hotel room, I'm sure, and they had a nice night, slept like babies, and moved on to their next performance like it happens for everybody else in the league. Don't insult our intelligence by suggesting that the NBA officials were just destroyed by getting that call wrong, when it is common knowledge that the NBA officials get calls wrong every single night. And it's not that they got the call wrong that pisses me off, although I do believe the NBA officials absolutely have to be better. Because there's a devil on my shoulder that is laughing maniacally at Los Angeles Lakers fans and Los Angeles Lakers players and the organization complaining about foul calls or missed calls at the end of the game. Look up 2002, people. That's all I have to say about that. It's not that the referees continue to miss calls that pisses me off. It's the fact that when it happens to LeBron James and the Lakers, they get a public apology on Twitter from the official account of NBA referees. But when it happens to 29 other teams, when Tyler Hero traveled on his game winner against the Kings, when Klay Thompson fouled Kevin Huerter at the end of that game, two games in close succession, it was like in a four-game span, that directly affected the impact of the game. The Kings had to wait for the last two-minute report to get an admittance that they missed the calls, but there's no apology, there's no accountability, nothing for the Sacramento Kings. And that's happened to probably all other 29 teams outside of the Lakers so far this season. At some point in time, every single team has been screwed over by a bad call. But when it happens to LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, they get a public apology. This is why I cannot stand my intelligence being insulted by people and the referees and former referees who have come on this podcast and have said, oh, there's not such thing as preferential treatment in the NBA. This proves directly that there clearly is preferential treatment. Because LeBron James and the Lakers get an apology that no other team in the league would get. The poster child organization for the NBA. Essentially, the New York Yankees of the NBA. The Dallas Cowboys of the NBA. They get this apology. LeBron James, the poster child, the GOAT, the face of the league, he gets this apology after a melodramatic, over-the-top performance. But everybody else? Nope, you get your last two-minute report and that's it. But I'm supposed to believe that there's not preferential treatment in the NBA. This goes beyond just fouls going in a certain direction during a game. Like, we've kind of just accepted in today's day and age that that's just part of the game. Like, stars get more calls, that's just it. Kind of deal with it and overcome that. And that's been that way for a long time, and teams have kind of adjusted to that. This is the first time I've ever seen a public apology from officials. Where was the apology for 2002? That's what I want to know. If you're apologizing for a regular season game in Boston for a team in Los Angeles that's completely disappointing, the best that they're doing this season is getting LeBron's acting career in Hollywood going. If you're going to apologize for that, what about the team that screwed over in the Western Conference Finals that cost them a championship and sends them in a downward spiral that's lasted 16 years? Where's that apology? It's absolutely ridiculous. Give me a break. And honestly, fans, coaches, players, general managers, front offices, ownership for all 29 other teams should be contacting the NBA and saying, this is BS. This is BS that the Lakers get this. This looks terrible for the league. And it further feeds into conspiracy theorists and the stigma that preferential treatment is going to be given to big markets. We already see LA Lakers all over our screen. When the Kings beat the Los Angeles Lakers, you'll see three LeBron James highlights, and they'll show the final score with the Kings winning by 20. Maybe you get one De'Aaron Fox bucket in there. You already shoved the Los Angeles Lakers down our throats with national TV games, and I understand the reason for that. But don't insult our intelligence by saying that there's not preferential treatment when you're willing to issue an apology towards a player and a team for a missed call when you're not willing to do that for every other team in the league. Pisses me off, man.
While we let Past Matt cool down a little bit, now is a perfect time for me to tell you a little bit more about our title sponsor of today's Locked On Kings podcast. That's Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the number one way to play daily fantasy sports, especially daily fantasy NBA. And the way it works, you pick 2 to 6 players and the over or the under on their projected scoring total. So if you took De'Aaron Fox, let's say he was +25.5 tonight against Minnesota. If you took the over, plus maybe you took the over on Malik Monk's, let's say, +10.5. You do that for a couple more players around the league. If you get it right, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the Prize Picks projections. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Yeah, they're all over the sports landscape. You can use your knowledge to make yourself money all over the sports landscape. And entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals. So once you win money, you will get that money quickly and easily. It's currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app to go, or go to prizepicks.com right now to play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks gives you $50, but you can only cash in on that with promo code Locked On. Don't forget to use that promo code for a chance for an instant deposit, or rather a guaranteed instant deposit match up to $100. All right, let's talk about this Kings win tonight. I'm going to share with you why I'm very encouraged by tonight's game. And I think a lot of Sacramento Kings fans, despite the frustrations while we were watching this game and maybe the fear of fatigue catching up to the Sacramento Kings or how close the Western Conference is with the Kings still sitting in the third spot, I understand all those concerns. But tonight's win should be encouraging for you, and I'll tell you why. First and foremost, this game was very similar to the Kings' loss in Minnesota on Saturday in a lot of ways. Now, it didn't go to overtime, but the Sacramento Kings struggled shooting the basketball as a team a lot on Saturday and a lot again tonight. I'm going to point to some key differences, the most positive differences that led to the Sacramento Kings win, especially with individual performances. We're going to get to that. But with how the Kings started offensively struggling, now thankfully the Minnesota Timberwolves also started struggling from the field offensively, and that kind of carried through for both teams throughout the majority of the night, except for, like on Saturday, the Minnesota Timberwolves opened up the first couple of minutes of the third quarter on a tear. They built their first double-digit lead. I think that lead got up to 10 points, maybe 11 points, something like that. And it looked like, uh-oh, here's the terrifying third quarter that Sacramento Kings fans thought we were finally over, how much it's haunted the Kings in the past with old teams. Recently, the third quarter has not been very friendly to the Sacramento Kings, as we touched on our most recent edition of Locked On Kings. But thankfully, after those first couple of minutes where the T-Wolves took control, the Sacramento Kings as a team responded really well. Really, it was a lot of members off of the Kings bench that responded really well. Again, I'm going to get into that. And then we get into overtime. We get into overtime, and the Kings, this is just their second overtime game of the season. They're 1-0 so far in overtime heading into tonight's game. On the road in overtime without Domantas Sabonis, who fouled out late in the fourth quarter. So there are a lot of reasons why Kings fans should feel nervous about 5 extra minutes of basketball, especially when the Kings had a 3-point lead. They allowed, or rather left, a wide open shooter for the Minnesota Timberwolves to tie the game up. De'Aaron Fox had 12 seconds left with a chance to win the game, ended up shooting his isolation pull-up jumper short. I'm 100% okay with the shot selection. He got to his spot. It's one of his favorite spots on the floor. Just shot it a little bit short. But the Kings go into overtime and they take control in overtime. Really, we're in full control start to finish in overtime. Never really faltered. Now, the Wolves tried to make some runs and hit some decent shots, but Sacramento really all 5 minutes of overtime was in control. They looked like the better team that the standings say that they are. And the fact that we can point and draw so many similarities from Saturday's Kings loss to today's Kings win, what you should be most encouraged by as a Kings fan is the fact that this team continues to show their abilities to make game-to-game improvement. And this team continues to respond. I was listening to ESPN 1320's D'Lo and KC today, and Damian Barling was making a really good point about so many teams in the Western Conference. If you go through their schedule to this point, You'll see a lot of teams going on these really bad stretches, losing 7 of 9 or 7 of 8. Some teams losing like 9 of 10. And the Sacramento Kings, with the exception of that 0-4 start to the season, they have not had that yet. The Kings have consistently shown an ability to respond when things start to trend in the wrong direction. Very similar to how Mike Brown will call a timeout really quickly at the start of the game. If the Kings don't start with the best defense or aren't doing what he likes, he tries to nip it at the bud and make sure it doesn't spiral out of control. That's exactly what the Kings have done before going on too many losing streaks and losing skids. And with how the Kings lost to the Raptors and how their offense was terrible on Saturday night in Minnesota and how their offense was bad to start this game, it's easy to see how it could snowball on itself. In addition to the fatigue of where we're at in the season, the Kings still have a handful of games before the All-Star break. Like, this is a time where it would not be super surprising and maybe kind of common to see teams like the Sacramento Kings, who have gotten off to such a great and exciting and surprising start, to maybe falter or fall apart a little bit and limp into the All-Star break instead of sprint into it like they've been sprinting so far this season. Sacramento has responded nicely. So once again, against the exact same team in a very similar game from just two nights ago, the Kings found a way to close it out, found a way to respond, found a way to win in this game, especially with it taking overtime. I think Kings fans should be very, very encouraged by that. Plus, speaking of overtime, with Domantas Sabonis fouling out, I loved the decision by Mike Brown to go with Trey Lyles at the five. I know, I saw some Kings fans on social media, I think Will Z Stats was saying, why didn't the Kings go to this sooner? It's an excellent matchup for the Kings in the sense that Rudy Gobert is so important in the paint. Like, he's so good in the paint, such a good rim protector, two-time defensive player of the year, right? When Trey Lyles is a starting five, it forces Rudy Gobert out of the paint, because Trey can space the floor so well. And one of the first possessions that we saw at the start of overtime was Trey Lyles standing in the corner when Malik Monk put the ball on the floor and tried to attack the rim. Rudy came in to protect the rim like he normally does, left Trey wide open for a corner three. Yes, I think it's an okay gamble for the Minnesota Timberwolves to pull off in this game, especially when the Kings struggled as much from three-point range as they did tonight. But Trey Lyles steps up in the moment, hits that corner three. Next possession after that, very similar situation. I think this time it was De'Aaron Fox who was attacking the basket. The Kings find Keegan Murray for a corner three when the Minnesota Timberwolves crash the paint and try and meet the Kings at the rim. Big shots when it mattered, even with the Kings struggling as much three-point shooting-wise as they did in tonight's game. All that very, very encouraging. Let's talk about De'Aaron Fox, because one of the major topics of conversation during my most recent podcast after Saturday night's loss was how great De'Aaron Fox is in the fourth quarter, right? He scored 21 of his 29 points in the fourth quarter in that loss, but he had only 8 points in the first three quarters, at the end of the first three quarters. And I saw the comments, I read the emails of fans saying, De'Aaron needs to be better. That's not what a star does. As great as he is in the fourth quarter, the Kings need him through those first three quarters. And while I disagree that with those saying that De'Aaron is not doing what a star does, I do agree that the Kings need and needed more from De'Aaron in those first three quarters, especially when the team is struggling as mightily offensively as they are. Well, De'Aaron gave me everything that I asked for tonight. Anything that I could have wanted outside of hitting the game winner and shooting a perfect shooting percentage. Like, De'Aaron gave me what I needed to see from the Kings star and the Kings leader in this game. He was attacking the rim and attacking the basket and looking to score from start to finish. And you have to understand, his life gets so much more difficult with his game and trying to score in the paint and around the rim. That is so much more difficult when your teammates are not hitting outside shots, because defenses can continue to just collapse on you and load that paint, and double teams and triple teams and help defenses will just come and swarm you. And Sacramento had to deal with De'Aaron Fox trying to score around Rudy Gobert and at times Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell, and the Minnesota defense just collapsing on him when he put the ball on the floor and he was kicking out to open looks that Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, whoever it was, they simply were not hitting. And yet, De'Aaron Fox still had the success that he had. I think he had 13 points at halftime, finishes the game with 32 points on 13 to 27 shooting. I love the fact that he took 27 shots. I don't care that he took 27 shots to score 32 points. The Kings needed him to take 27 shots in this game with how bad they've been struggling offensively. He also was all over the box score in other ways. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. That number would have been much higher if the Kings were hitting shots. 2 steals and a block. He played 41 minutes. I said this on social media. This performance from De'Aaron Fox to me is the equivalent of a 40-plus point scoring performance from another star around the league, in the sense that when a star scores 40-plus, you see a tweet about it on social media. You hear national media talking about it and writing about it. That's the focus. Look at what this star is doing. This star has 45 points. Luka Doncic scored 50. Dame Lillard had 50 or 60 points. Like, I get it. Those are tremendous offensive feats in an offensive game. Scoring will always be the most important stat for stars in the league. That will never change. But I think national media, and they're not going to, but they should be giving just as much attention to De'Aaron Fox for stepping up and putting together 41 minutes of necessary basketball as the leader for the Kings, especially with how he played in overtime, for stepping up and really carrying this team in a lot of ways to this win, still scoring 32 points, by the way. That should be getting just as much attention as if he scored 40 points, because an 8-point difference doesn't tell the story of how important De'Aaron was for this win. That's what stars do. It's not just putting up major numbers. And as we see, like, sometimes it's enough to put up major numbers to get yourself into the All-Star game or into All-Star starting lineups, no matter how few games you've been playing because of injury, right? I get it. But De'Aaron has always been told that he's not an All-Star because his team wasn't winning games. Well, in tonight's game, Domantas Sabonis fouls out. De'Aaron Fox consistently throughout the night has to be the leader and the guy that is orchestrating everything offensively, even with his teammates not helping him out and hitting shots and spacing the floor for him. He had to carry that load, and he did it successfully. And he responded exactly how I and many Kings fans in my comment sections were saying they needed him to respond. A full game of effort and a full offensive performance from De'Aaron was exactly what the Kings needed. The fact that he provided that, to me, that's huge. And in overtime, too, even if he wasn't scoring every single bucket in overtime, he was making the right decisions time after time after time. Love this performance from De'Aaron Fox. Also love this performance from Malik Monk. Malik had 19 points off the bench, 9 of 14 shooting from the field, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Like, Malik Monk was essential to tonight's Kings win. This is what a bench does. This is what a second unit does. I already shared some love for Trey Lyles and how he played in overtime when he was the 5 spot. He also reached double digits scoring. I think he had 13, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there. But Malik Monk stepping up when Kevin Huerter is struggling as much as Kevin did. Kevin had 3 points tonight on 1 of 7 shooting from the field. But to Kevin's credit, when offensively he wasn't going, he was still doing other things. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and played just 22 minutes. I think he subbed out at some midway point of the third quarter or something like that. Did not come in for the remainder of the game. That's fine. I know Kevin would want to be out there, but Mike Brown was able to go to that or make that decision because he had the luxury of a very engaged and on Malik Monk off the bench. And it's no surprise that the Kings find a way to win games when the bench is stepping up in that way, because you're not always going to get 5 starters having amazing nights and scoring 15 points each or double digits each. It's not always going to happen. So Malik's effort off the bench, Trey Lyles' effort off the bench, and Terrence Davis's effort off the bench, I thought was fantastic. Terrence Davis had 8 points, but was a plus 16 in the 16 minutes that he played. He also hit a couple big threes in the third quarter when the Sacramento Kings actually made a pretty decent run with Domantas Sabonis out of the game, allowed them to kind of get back in the game there with how bad the third quarter started for Sacramento. So this just goes to show, like, the bench can be way better than even what they showed tonight. But this Kings bench is essential to the success of the team, especially on nights like tonight, when they have 1 or 2 guys offensively who are struggling to put up the points that we expect from them, and the team as a whole is not shooting to the level that we expect from them. Love what I saw from the bench. Love what I saw from De'Aaron Fox. Domantas Sabonis also had a double-double. Did foul out of the game, but I thought Sabonis played really well. Keegan Murray, got to show some love for Keegan. With Sabonis fouling out and being in foul trouble, Keegan Murray stepped up with 13 points and 13 rebounds. Love that from the rookie. Also, like I mentioned, hit a big corner three in overtime. Every single game, he continues to do something that directly impacts Kings winning in crunch time. Love that from Keegan. Love this from the Kings as a whole. I'm very encouraged by the response that Sacramento showed compared to Saturday night's struggles. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file so you can do what you do, which is not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste, not taxes. Sing, not taxes, a lullaby. Hope, not taxes, sleeps through the night. Grab a saddle and ride, not taxes, into the sunset. You get my point. With TurboTax, an expert will do the taxes from start to finish, ensuring that your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. Doesn't it feel good to be done with your taxes while not doing taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only. Video meeting while expert does your taxes are required. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. So this is how you get back on track. Two games into your 7-game road trip. I've spoken in the past about how important I think this road trip is, but I think it goes beyond that. I think this is an extremely important stretch for the Kings as a whole. These next three games, they have the Spurs, the Pacers, and the Pelicans. Find a way to get two out of these three. I don't care what two of them are. I don't care what is the third that you drop, although if you lose this first one to the San Antonio Spurs, I think you're really setting yourself up to struggle a little bit. So I expect the Kings to be able to get this one in San Antonio, but just get two out of these three. Break it into an even smaller chunk. But fatigue is clearly setting in for the Kings. They're 8 games away now from the All-Star break. This is a needed All-Star break, not just for the representation that we hope the Sacramento Kings have, but for the rest of the team to kind of get their legs underneath them, get a breather, and prepare for an even more difficult end of the season and hopefully, expectedly now, playoff run. So if the Kings' offense is able to hold steady, I like their chances over the course of the 7-game road trip. And if the Kings can get through the 7-game road trip and those final home games before the All-Star break begins, they get through this 8-game stretch and they're still around that third, fourth seed. They're still feeling pretty good record-wise. They're still 6, 7, 8 games above 500 or wherever they're at. That's huge for this Kings team. That's monumental. This is where I talk about getting your work done ahead of time. This is where you could see a team like Sacramento, who is inexperienced a little bit and just really tired, this is where you can see them start to slide a little bit, start to stumble. And you'll notice there are a lot of good experienced teams in the Western Conference, like the Clippers, the Timberwolves up until tonight. Like, there are teams that are starting to figure it out and starting to turn things on and are surging a little bit right now. The Kings are either plateauing or maybe trending a little bit downward. Find a way to make it through these 8 games, get to the All-Star break in the same position you are right now, and I really like the Kings' chances for not just securing a playoff spot outright and not having to worry about the play-in, but potentially hosting or having home court advantage for the opening series, which would be pretty tremendous. Want to hear your thoughts on tonight's game? Want to hear your thoughts on my referee rant at the beginning? I couldn't wait to do it today because the tone and I would have calmed down, and being calm is not as fun, right? Plus, like I mentioned in that video, it was therapeutic for me to get that off my chest yelling in the parking lot. I'm surprised one of my coworkers didn't call the cops. But I want to hear your thoughts on that. So reach out to me at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. And leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Really appreciate your support as always here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Can't wait to have you join me for the next episode. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.